Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you chose to join us. Tonight's episode, Follow Your Bliss. Follow your bliss. That's a curious thing. What we're going to talk about tonight is this idea of bliss and what the value of following it is. This is going to be a very interesting show because we're bringing the soul that every one of us has. Your soul is probably in the proximity of yourself if you're listening to this. We're bringing the soul and the ego together. And I think that's always a very powerful place to think, to contemplate, to embrace, to embody. So when we talk about follow your bliss, perhaps the first thing that comes to mind is Joseph Campbell. He was known for that statement, follow your bliss. And I think it's worthwhile to look at Joseph Campbell's work for just a moment, because he did a very curious thing from my perspective. One of my most favorite books that I've never read is this big, thick book on mythology. And it's got many, many, many pages, many chapters of individual cultures' perspective on the meaning and value of life. Some people say other people's religion is your mythology. But this idea of mythology is something that Joseph Campbell studied around the world. He looked at many, many cultures, from very small villages to huge Western cultures, nations, governments. He studied the mythology, the belief systems, the teachings, the wisdom from these cultures all over the world. And he's seen an overlapping theme behind all of these. Joseph Campbell's work is very impressive, and I certainly recommend, if you want to explore it more, I suggest you do. But he came up with this idea of following your bliss, to follow your bliss. So let's just take a moment and look at that term bliss, because I always like to get on the same page when we talk about something. Sometimes when you're in conversation with people, it seems like there's a disconnect, or that you're not clicking, like you're not exchanging ideas. And sometimes that's because you have two different views of what a symbol, what a term means. So I always like to kind of lay a groundwork to put a framework as to what I'm talking about. Your bliss. So what is this bliss? Where is it in your persona? How do we know we're in it? What does it feel like? Things like that. I suggest bliss is something that ego would experience. Doesn't mean the soul can't be present or participating, as well as the heart. But bliss, I suggest, is what the ego feels when it's fulfilling the vision of the soul and empowering the heart in the moment. You feel bliss when you're completely in sync with yourself. In other words, your heart, your soul, and your ego are all saying yes to what you've decided to do. And that bliss can be as simple as stopping to smell the roses at the park. Or it can be fiddling around with a guitar or other musical instrument and playing around with making sounds that you enjoy. To follow your bliss, that idea of bliss as a feeling in the moment that is perhaps euphoric, perhaps enlightening, all-encompassing, fulfilling, perhaps radiant with light, a deep sense of connection. I think bliss can be taken down several different venues as far as avenues of description and still remain on target. So when we say follow your bliss, what does that mean to our human experience? So you're here, I'm here, we're human beings, we've decided to take this moment, and how do we follow our bliss from our own human experience? The idea that we live in our minds, I'm jumping out of the bliss realm, and I'm talking about a lot of signs of what our culture has been living in, at least what I've noticed, and that's the staring at your phone. You're waiting in line at the restaurant, and everybody's staring at their phone. They're watching TV. They're playing an online game. And this is a bit of a disconnect because it's typically all mind, where we're living in our minds, and our heart and our soul are not vibrationally anywhere in the vicinity. And it's not that our heart and our soul doesn't have that energetic signature. It's that our mind, it's that our day in and day out consciousness is nowhere near what our heart and our soul would be having us do. And I want to be careful with the word have, as in there's this idea that there's an expectation, or in order to be able to do it, quote, right, unquote, or to be, this is a real doozer, to be righteous, doing the righteous thing. It's not that at all. It's that the heart and the soul would be delighted to have us delighted. Our heart and our soul would be joyful to have us joyful. Your soul's not going to vary from the truth. Your soul's not going to come into fear and cheer you on. That your soul's not going to feed you sentences of separation or further a sense of self that doesn't honor you. Your soul cannot comprehend anything that is not true. Your soul is in alignment with the truth. And by its very nature, it will not go into ego. It will not go into fear. It will not go into separation to hang out with you, if that makes sense. And so when we look at that, our ego really dictates. It's kind of like the lowest common denominator as far as what can happen in our life. Many people go their entire life living in their minds, and they never get out of their minds their entire life. Many people have disconnected from the wisdom of their heart and the vision of their soul. Many, many people have done that. And in this culture that we're living in now, there's this idea of awakening and spiritual journey and a seeking enlightenment. And people are starting to awaken to a broader sense of possibilities, a bigger sense of self, of who they might be, of what their potential might be. And this is always a good thing to do. Once you're done exploring the darkness, when we talk about the ego as the lowest common denominator, sometimes we have to hit rock bottom. We have to be so frustrated with our condition, so frustrated with our relationships, so frustrated with our job, our sense of self, our ability to enjoy life. We kind of have to bottom out for many people to get to the point where we say, you know, damn it, I'm tired of this. This is, I can't do this anymore. And it's in those moments that the ego decides that it wants something better. The ego decides it's time to embrace my truth. It's time to get past this struggling, to get out of the quagmire, to have a more satisfying, fulfilling sense of self, and being able to enjoy life better. So when we talk about following your bliss, I think we need to jump in and talk about the ego and the soul, because there's a relationship here that is it's so powerful, because you are powerful. Every single person is very powerful, because our soul is very vast. It's very expansive. It has no idea or comprehension of limitation. And it has no idea or comprehension of fear. That's really powerful. Because if you look at our human story, if you look at our culture, our media, our mythology, this idea of a human being, any human being, even our sages and priests and prophets and saviors and whoever we want to look at in the past, there's not that many examples of people really showing up with a sense of personal power. And in order for us to really wrap our noggin around what this power has to offer us, this idea of our soul and our ego conspiring to make a joyful life, coming into communion, returning to unity within yourself, and then you bring in the power of the heart, that elixir of a soul with a vision for your life, a vision of your life that was conjured up before you were even born. The power of a heart, when you purify your heart, it is such a vehicle of love. And love is the elixir of transformation. When the ego cries out for change, love can accommodate anything. It is the maker of magic, if you will. So we have the soul with a vast vision. We have the heart as a conduit of divine love. And then we have the ego. And this, I suggest the sentence, follow your bliss, is a roadmap for your ego. Follow your bliss. That idea suggest to the ego that there's a thread, there's a path, there's a journey of a sense of self, who the ego thinks it is, that will provide a bliss. Follow your bliss. Well, where is this bliss taking me? Follow your bliss. Where is this bliss taking me? Well, follow your bliss suggests there's some bliss available to you now. How can you follow it unless you're with it? Follow your bliss. Bliss, I think, might turn out to be a wild card as far as what it actually is. I think bliss in the moment, in any particular moment, any particular now, is the shortest path your ego can take to expand its connection with your heart and soul. When you're first starting out, I suggest that it depends on where you are in your karmic journey. But if you haven't been having any practice in cleansing your karma and purifying your thoughts, that mental landscape that you live in, and gaining some skills at cleansing and releasing your emotions. If you're just starting out on your spiritual journey, following your bliss might not make any sense as far as what you can do in your everyday life. And if you've been on your path and working on yourself and purifying yourself, you probably had moments of bliss in there. And when you hear the word bliss, you might already have an idea of what that means. But when we talk about following your bliss, I suggest a real critical element to that is letting go of what you think it's going to look like. When I look on social media, I see all kinds of posts that say, oh, don't listen to what other people think. It's not important what others think of you. It's important about what you think of yourself and those kind of things. And that is certainly in the realm of aligning with your soul, because in our culture, we are so ingrained in this collective experience. We are so brought up in the common school systems, common religions, common governments, common institutions. This idea of I'm patriotic, I'm a citizen of this country that I'm living in. All those things are creating a sense of self. And it's creating in the process of creating that sense of self, anytime you say to be a righteous spiritual person, to be, let's use religion, to be a good religious person, you need to be righteous. And well, what does that righteous mean? And when we go to talk about connecting with your soul doesn't need a definition of anything. Your soul doesn't need information from somebody else. This is really important. Your soul doesn't need information from somebody else to know what to do or how to do it. And when we judge our egos, when we judge our sense of self, oh, you can't do this. Oh, you can't do that. We should make a law to ban this. We should make a law to ban that. That's all mind. That's all ego. That's all judgment. That's all posturing. That's all holding a single sense of correctness to the infinite possibilities that the universe has provided us. Well, wait a minute. Isn't there bad? Well, karmically, nobody has broken a law. We're given fierce freedom here. In fact, our souls chose to go into the darkness, but that's a whole nother story. What I'm getting at is when you go to follow your bliss, when you go to align with your soul, to let go of the imprinting of your past. In other words, if you look at your family of origin and if you look at how you were brought up in the first developmental years from perhaps up through 7 and maybe to 15 years old, that's where most of our conditioning was put in our consciousness as far as who you are, what your values are, what you believe in. Because your soul doesn't need an identity. Your soul is the truth. Your soul cannot separate itself from truth. And this might seem like a fringe point, but I like the idea of speaking language that affords the most absolute sense of truth. And right now, if you go on the internet and you Google spiritual teachers, or you Google, you know, religious paths or whatever, and you all line them up on a table, and then you go practice all their teachings, you're going to arrive at a destination with every one of them. You're going to fulfill their sense of what it means to live their own principles that they teach. And perhaps I'm the same way. I teach energy, I guess, in the purest form, and your personal experience with it. I mean, that's an extremely general term, energy. But if I were to break that down a little farther, I would teach karma, in other words, the imprinting of your past and how it is affecting you in the moment, and then your own personal power, which is what your possibilities are. And those two kind of buck each other. If I load myself up with mental imprinting and emotional upheaval, emotional unresolution, where I've got all this emotional reactive patterning based on feelings that I ignore, or push away, or posture with, I'm going farther and farther and farther away from my power. So if I'm going to be a teacher that teaches what power is, I want to arrive in the light, period. The burning bush said, "I am that I am." And the Bhagavad Gita said, "As it is." Both those sentences have no posture at all, none, zero. I am that I am. And your soul is your portal, if you will, with your divinity. If we go into the center of each one of us and we find that inner light, if I go inside of me to that inner light and you go inside of you to that inner light, we will be one in the light. So when I talk about your soul not having a need, a concept of right or wrong, I'm talking to your ego. I don't need to tell your soul that. Your soul already knows that. But when you've been raised in such a heavily imprinted culture, the idea of, quote, abandoning your patriotism or your spirituality, and your relationship with the divine, maybe you're lobbying for salvation at some future date. If I talk about abandoning that, that can seem ludicrous or stupid or insane or something like that. But your soul doesn't need a template. Your soul doesn't need a sentence of right or wrong, or I'm doing it good or I'm doing it bad or whatever. Your soul is the truth personified. And if I were to put any embellishment on that at all, I couldn't get you to light. You are the light. The Father and I are one. The kingdom of heaven is within. The journey home is within yourself to that light of heaven. To follow your bliss is to literally, I like the idea that you've been going through your life up to this moment. Imagine if you turn around and you start walking back through your life or lifetimes, and you go to every situation and condition where you loaded up more karma in your psyche, And you go all the way through all your lifetimes until you've cleaned out your closet, you've cleaned out your emotional imprinting, your mental imprinting, and you get down to the end and you take the very last thing out, and there you are, your light. In the beginning was light, and you were in that light because you are a part of creation. So your soul doesn't need to be told anything by your ego. In fact, your ego needs to let go of the idea of measuring, of quantifying if you're doing it right or wrong. If you really want to follow your bliss, I suggest taking the action with your ego that allows total alignment, complete alignment with your soul. And anything shy of that will be shy of your potential. So when we take a look at this from a soul's perspective, and now let's shift it over to the ego. So here I am. I'm towards the end of a day. Maybe it's the morning when you're listening to this. Here I am in another day. I'm this body, I'm this consciousness, I have my ego, and I'm going through this day. Where am I going to find this bliss? Should I look behind the couch? Did I leave it in my pocket? Or is it in the car? If I'm going to follow this bliss, how am I going to recognize it? How am I going to know that I see it, and what am I going to do to follow it? When we're coming out of a very difficult time, say you're in an abusive relationship and there's physical violence, domestic violence in your household, and you're struggling like hell just to get through your day, bliss might be letting it all go at the bus stop, putting it down for a minute at the bus stop, taking a moment and just breathing in the air, knowing that you're alive, just for that moment, just for that moment, to kind of regroup and let go, and let go of some of the stress. Your life might be hell in an hour. When we talk about bliss, I think the context of our life that we're in now sheds some light on what this bliss could be. I just shared an example of what goes on this planet, a single sense of it, domestic violence. And what the idea of bliss could be in that situation. If we were to increment a little more in that scenario, how joyful would it be that you moved out of that situation and it quit existing in your life? You quit experiencing violence against you. And you moved into your own place, and you walked in the door, and you closed the door, and you locked it, and you felt safe for more than 10 minutes, for more than a day, for more than a week. Oh, my God, that would be such a joyful time. So let's flip the card and go to another scenario. What if you're a CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company and you own properties all over the world and you've indulged yourself in about every damn thing you think possible. And you're getting out of your limousine or whatever and you go in the building for your next meeting and a little child walks up and hands you a flower. And that child has no care what your bank statement looks like or what the title is on your business card or how much that suit cost you. And that the innocence in her eyes or his eyes melts your heart. That's bliss. Or maybe you've worked at the same job for 10 years and you feel like you're going flipping nowhere. And you used to play guitar in high school and you run into an old friend and they're going to go jam in their garage and you decide to go with them and you pick up a guitar again and you start playing riffs. And that awakens this river of inspiration from within your soul, within your heart, and you start really genuinely having fun playing the guitar. That would be bliss. So how can we talk about bliss? I mean, let's get masking tape out and pin that sucker down and write down what... Right on bliss. Let's write right on bliss what the hell bliss is. Doesn't work that way. And that's why I suggest letting go of this imprint that anything or anyone outside of you is going to know what it is for you. So in order for you to be loyal, to be authentic with yourself, to follow your bliss, you have to be the one to recognize it, period. Maybe somebody sees joy in your face, but the real signature of bliss is going to come from within yourself. I suggest you spend the time and take the action and experiment and play with this idea of bliss so you can recognize it better and better and easier from moment to moment. Life's a journey. There's been many, many very powerful words, sentences, concepts, beliefs, thoughts that have been shared. Plenty enough to get you to the truth. If you're waiting for the right sentence or a more powerful way to phrase it, I don't think it's going to help much. Sometimes you go to a weekend seminar and the speaker stands up and booms out a concept, an idea, a feeling, a thought that resonates with you, and pow, you feel wonderful. And that's very cool. But that feeling came from within you. I suggest you can follow your bliss for eternity, give or take a week, and enjoy bliss the entire journey. Because human consciousness it's very expansive. It's logarithmic. It's very exponential. And what I mean by that is if you look at how you're experiencing life, if you were to come up with a genre of how you're experiencing life, your blue collar, your white collar, your this, your that, and think of that as a genre or perhaps... Yeah, I like genre. So you go in a DVD store, and maybe if you look at your entire life, you've been playing out 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 genres. And in your soul's potential is the most gigantic mega DVD store on the planet. Where the genres go on and on forever. I spent the first 35 years of my life up till I was 35 years old, my career was broadcast television. And in those first decades of my career, I I was done. I'm a TV engineer. That's my genre. And I'm a father, and I'm a, you know, a couple other genres or whatnot. And I had my spiritual awakening, or whatever you want to call it, when I was about 35. And oh my God, I'm a radio show host as I speak. I'm an author. I'm a philosopher. I'm very fascinated by the human experience with this thing called nature or reality or whatever. Very fascinated with that. And I've been playing at drumming circles, and I'm accumulating, expanding. I'm not sure quite how to phrase that, but who I am is getting softer and broader and funner. And it feels really good. And I feel like I'm just starting to live life. I'm just starting to give life a chance in me. I'm starting to understand what it looks like to be open to the diversity of inspiration that my soul can feed me. Because a lot of these ideas that I'm embodying and pursuing now, I wouldn't have comprehended, let alone followed. Talk about following your bliss. When I get an inspiration and it shows up in a, I take action on it. And when I do that, I find myself having the most curious experiences that I never would have thought would happen. And it's all because I listen. I'm still enough. I'm quiet enough to listen to that inspiration moment to moment. Doesn't mean I get it all, but I certainly get a lot more than I ever used to. And I'm trusting it more. And that's a real powerful point. In the beginning of the show, I talked about the relationship of our soul and our ego. And I think it comes down to trust. Trust in, I would say, experience. Because your ego, when your ego is naive and it's been untethered and you've chased yourself out in a corner. I mean, if I just look at humanity overall, there's no joy, there's no passion, there's no, people aren't even looking up, they're looking down. They can't even see the horizon. And when I talk about trust, when you take an ego that has pretty much run the show, when people have been living in their ego day in and day out, 24/7, for months and months and years, the ego decides everything. Like we said earlier in the show, the soul will gladly let the ego take its entire life and make all the choices. And I would suggest boo-hoo. Because when you let your heart and your soul into your life with influence and inspiration, with influence in the sense that your ego is actually paying attention to that inner inspiration, willing to capture it when it shows up, and then most powerfully fulfill it with action. Inspiration into action, feminine into masculine, from no thing into thing, creation itself. We could talk about that all by itself, but when you get your ego to trust your soul, and to not be afraid of the power of your heart, when your heart is purified, to purify your heart. When you have enough experience with your ego to listen to the inspiration of your soul and follow the impulse. With some wisdom, your soul can show you a vision of you being a writer. That doesn't mean you go in tomorrow and quit your job. There's some temporal pacing to this. But don't let that stop you in your tracks. Always be careful with your lifestyle, how you pay the rent, how you have food, where you stay. Always be mindful of that. Think before you make choices that will change that. Don't let the vision make you jump ship on what's keeping you afloat. Create the replacement. In other words, if you see yourself a writer, make enough from your writing that it can easily sustain yourself before you let go of what's sustaining you now. But to get your ego to trust your soul is to start participating in the process of creation. Your heart and your soul is going to feed you inspiration. Capture it. Write it down verbatim. You're in the shower. You're unloading the car, and this inspiration pops in your head. Write it down quickly. Although that's such a simple step, just writing it down will give it some permanence in your life. If you don't write it down, typically the next thing that happens is you pull it up in your head and you start rationalizing it. Well, who am I to write a book? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to write about. Who wants to read what I have to write? And you talk yourself out of it. By the fourth or fifth thought, it's gone. It's polluted. It's diluted. But to trust your heart and your soul is to capture that inspiration. So that sentence pops in your head, write it down. Sure, go ahead, rationalize it, quantify it, you know, whatever. Talk yourself out of it, but it's written down. You're going to see it again later. And later on down the road, you're going to have another inspiration. You can write that down too. That's very, very, very powerful because the thoughts of your heart and your soul are starting to show up in your life. That's the beginning, the very first little tiny step into trust. Because once you get that inspiration, then you follow it up with action. Some people go 6 months, a year, 2 years, decades, and don't follow their heart and their soul one single time, one single inspiration. And you can develop a habit of capturing that inspiration and with judgment and discernment, fulfilling it. And you can shorten the intervals between the inspiration. Don't beat yourself up if your pacing's not real stout off the top. Your ego's got to learn to trust. Don't rush that process. And don't take forever either. But practice listening to your heart and your soul and then practice taking appropriate action. And get that to the point where you start to learn about it. If it's never happening, you won't get intuitive with it. If it starts to happen, you're starting to get experience and you're starting to get intuitive with it. If you develop a habit of doing it, then it's much more frequent and your intuition will go up and you'll know better when to trust that it's action for this moment. And then fast forward to the point where your heart and your soul are present with you all throughout your day. You followed your bliss to the point where your ego is in alignment with your heart and your soul in most every moment of the day. Talk about bliss. Talk about bliss. the ego feels such joy, such satisfaction at the end of the day when you've actually taken steps to fulfill the inspiration of your heart and your soul. If you live in your head and ignore your heart and your soul every day, when you go to bed at night, your heart and your soul aren't really satisfied because you haven't done anything to honor them. You haven't done anything to honor your potential. You haven't done anything to move you closer to your dreams coming true. And your heart and your soul are very, 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 very patient. They'll wait a lifetime for your ego to come around. But you can choose as an ego to develop some simple practices, some simple habits. When you can align with your heart and your soul, you're increasing your personal power. Your heart and your soul know about next week and next month. They know what will make you happy. They know what your life purpose is. And when you honor your heart and your soul by capturing inspiration and fulfilling it, at the end of the day, your heart is satisfied, your soul is satisfied, and your ego is feeling bliss. That's when you go to bed and you feel, damn, I have such a wonderful life. I'm so excited for this creation process that I'm involved with in my everyday life now. I'm so excited to see where this is going to take me, because your life gets renewed every day with new inspiration and new action and new possibilities. Your mind experiences a flow, an expansion of who you are and what you experience in your everyday life. Wow. How? That's soul level living. We've seen people, I think we've all seen people that are passionately expressing their bliss, be it artists, be it any aspect of society, really. They're electric. They're full of life. And that potential exists inside of you now and forever. You cannot exhaust it. In fact, I challenge you to learn it at more and more expansive possibilities, to develop it, to develop your ability to express your soul's vision and personify the power of your heart. And through your mind, follow your bliss. As you practice that day in and day out, you're going to expand who you are over time. Human consciousness is expansive. It's exponential. There is no limit. The inspiration is there forever. Your age has nothing to do with it. Your age is none of your business. Your soul is timeless. Doesn't care what age you are. Sometimes I think our society doesn't honor the value of the elders. And if you're an elder listening to this, belly up to the bar, wake yourself up, bring who you are to the table, because I suggest every aspect, every age of humanity has something to contribute to the collective. You want to live a most exceptional life? Go within. You want to fulfill your dreams and experience such a sense of joy and bliss in your mind, in your ego? Go within. Look no farther than yourself. You have the best seat in the house. For you to fulfill your vision, not anybody else's, don't copy anybody. For you to fulfill your vision, to be authentic to that idea, that seed, that vision that your soul had in mind for you before you're even born, That's where you're going to feel the most joy in your life. That's where you're going to feel the most satisfaction. And that's when you're the most electric. We're living at such an incredible time in our human story. Our chapter in that big book of mythology, I suggest, is an exceptional chapter. We're living in a time where the collective consciousness is coming out of such darkness. I don't think we'll be back here again for a long, 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 long time. The collective consciousness is rising out of the darkness. Once the collective consciousness moves back into the light, there'll be no experience of power. There'll be no experience of triumph. When we are all living in our truth, there'll be nothing to overcome. Our souls chose to come into this darkness. Our souls chose this journey. And I suggest this lifetime is a most exceptional lifetime that will not be repeated in the future. It can't be repeated because the collective consciousness is rising. How far you've gone into the darkness defines the triumph of returning to the light. If you've only taken one step out of the light and you turn around and step back into the light, whoop-de-doo. Pardon my pun. But you didn't. Your soul chose this lifetime to come into this physical form, this human form that you have now, in the darkness, in the shadow, to give you an opportunity, your ego, to within the darkness, find the light within. Wow. Wow. To find the darkness within. Boy, that's a whole topic by itself. My soul put me here to language power. It put me in front of television transmitters so I could understand what power was. The last one I built generated 1 million watts of service, 1 million watts of power. From my perspective, you have hundreds of trillions of watts. A whole savanna full of nuclear power plants is in your little finger. You have more power within you than you can comprehend with your ego. But what the hell, that's just sentence. That's just dialogue unless we can bring it into our human experience and leverage it like a fulcrum for effect. Well, you can do that. And that power is love, divine love. It's the root of all authentic power. And it's within you now. I wrote a book, Personal Power Fundamentals, and it talks about how you take on karma, which always reduces your power, how you take it on, and how you get rid of it to return to the light. The motion of the journey itself. When you're a new soul, you're light, you move into the darkness, you take on karma. You go as dark as you want, then you get fed up with it. And you decide, enough, I'm out of here, and you start heading back towards the light, and that's where most of us are now. And to move back to the light is to remove impurities within your personal energy persona to reveal the light within. The way you take on karma and the way you release it is very simple and oftentimes very subtle. I know we want really powerful words and really powerful sentences to make us transform overnight. No deity, no being, no angel is going to come down and prang you with a wand and poof, you're back to light. We're here for the journey. We're here for who we become along the way. If you want to understand more about you as power personified, Personal Power Fundamentals is a lays the groundwork of the basics of your own personal energy and moving it from darkness to to light and light into darkness. I mean, we all took that journey to get to where we are now. This is a most exciting time. Your soul has a vision. Your heart has compassion. When you awaken the compassion in your heart, when you take action on the vision of your soul, when your ego trusts and shows up with action, that is creating flow, the flow that is your life fulfilled. It's a day-by-day process. It's an incremental success. Sometimes our day seems so melancholy that we don't think there's much going on, but there is. When you can understand the mechanics of creation, you can accelerate it. You can embody it. You can engage it and trust it more and get intuitive about it. So you have this sense of knowing from moment to moment. You tuned into the show tonight, listening to this idea of your soul and your ego and this idea of bliss, following your bliss. That's a powerful thing to do right there. When you have an understanding, a model, an idea of the nature of fulfilling your life purpose, the nature of you as the light personified, it helps your ego to recognize what choices and thoughts are congruent with the truth of who you are. Heaven on earth is 7 billion different ideas. There's not one idea of heaven that will fit everybody on earth. In order for you to live genuine heaven on earth is for you to be authentic to who you are. Heaven comes from within. The kingdom of heaven is within you now. So learn who you are. Learn what you prefer. Understand what is your authentic desires, because that's the thing itself. Your authentic desires come from your heart and your soul, and they're spot on no matter what they say. So trust that. Show up for that. Life's a wonderful thing when you recognize its potential, when you recognize the purpose and you show up for it. You've done that tonight by taking the time to refine who you are. Here on the New Human Living Radio Show, we have many episodes. You know, you can dial up newhumanliving.com on your phone just before you start your commute and go to the radio page and find one of the episodes and pop it up and listen to it while you drive to work. We've had some incredible shows, very powerful guests. The New Human Living platform is to teach you how to be powerful so you can reach the pinnacle of your power, light personified. Period. No embellishment. Any embellishment is your own. Otherwise, it wouldn't be authentic. Pure authentic you. New human living. You know, it's my good pleasure to share this time with you, and I appreciate you joining me in this time. We're a family of humanity, and it's so nice when we can show up for each other. It's been a wonderful episode. Until next time, thanks for listening.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.